Well, hello and good morning. This is Bob Sutherland from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Wall Street Journal mainly today. We might cover some articles from Bloomberg, big name today, and Reuters. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten for the by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our communities since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, the market up yesterday, close of business on Wednesday, November 13. The Dow was up 92 points to 27,783. The S&P 500 was up 2.20 to close at 3,094. The exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, was down to just 2.57 to close at 13,385. The NASDAQ was down 3.99 to close at 84.82. Gold was up $9.60 to close at $1,461.70. And crude oil was up 32 cents to close at $57.12. Well, McClatchy, owner of many newspapers out of San Francisco, on Wednesday reported a net third-quarter loss of $304 million. That's amid continued growth in digital subscriptions. It also reported that its request for a three-year waiver that would have lowered its 2020 pension obligations was declined by the IRS, leaving the company to seek other sources of relief. A non-cash charge of $295 million for impairment to goodwill and masthead intangible assets made up mostly of the nearly $305 million loss, compared with the $7 million gain over the same period a year ago. McClatchy had reported a net loss of $17.5 million in the second quarter of 2009. And as we all know, the News and Observer is a McClatchy holding, as the Charlotte paper is also. Well, Google is talking to U.S. banks about offering current accounts to its customers, accelerating Silicon Valley's incursion into financial services after Apple's credit card launch and Facebook's proposed digital currency, Libra. Google's move could further alarm lawmakers already anxious about the concentration of increasingly intimate personal information within a few big tech companies. With Facebook running into widespread resistance to Libra, Google has said it planned to work with existing financial services providers, including its first partners, Citigroup, and Stanford Federal Credit Union. We're exploring how we can partner with banks and credit unions in the United States to offer smart checking accounts through Google Pay, helping their customers benefit from useful insights and budgeting tools, a Google spokesperson said. Like its chief rival, Apple Pay, Google allows smartphones to be used for purchases online and in stores. The Google spokesperson added that its new banking services would maintain rigorous standards for privacy and user control, and that the company would share further details in the coming months. Well, Dean Foods, the biggest U.S. milk company, filed for bankruptcy protection. That's a setback to a U.S. dairy industry struggling against declining U.S. milk consumption and increasing competition. The rise of technologies that help the elderly stay in their homes threatens to upend commercial real estate's big bet on senior housing. A federal regulator is looking into Google's and a nonprofit health systems project to amass health information of millions of patients. Now, Disney's streaming service launched amid technical glitches that prevented some users from logging in and made it difficult for others to watch movies and shows. Nissan slashed its business outlook after reporting another quarter of declining sales and profit. Aramco's IPO will give Saudi Arabia's middle class the chance to own a sliver of the kingdom's prized asset. CBS said profit fell about 35% as it ramps up its spending on programming and incurs higher costs ahead of its Viacom merger. Boeing lost orders for about 200 of its 737 MAX jets this year because of airline bankruptcies and customers swapping out for its other models. Juul, that's J-U-U-L, the vaping company, is cutting about 16% of its total workforce. And worldwide, U.S. military officials watched live drone feeds last month that appeared to show Turkish-backed Arab gunmen targeting civilians during their assault on Kurdish fighters in northeastern Arabia. Beijing's statement that the United States and China have agreed to roll back tariffs as part of a Phase One table accord lifted financial markets, but questions remained over how much ground, if any, the Trump administration had agreed to give. Disney's hit movies helped drive strong results in the latest quarter, but the company is largely looking beyond the theater for its future. Gap said CEO Peck will step down immediately and be succeeded, for now, by the company's chairman. The owner of the Sears and Kmart chain said it will close 96 more Sears or Kmart locations by February. Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund has pumped $400 million into Travis Kalanick's cloud kitchens. PG&E, that's Pacific Gas and Electric, posted a $1.6 billion third-quarter loss hit by costs from wildfires, bankruptcy, and blackouts. Toyota reported a rise in profit for its latest quarter. The automaker maintained its full-year outlook. Again, on Juul Labs, said it was voluntarily stopping the sale of its mint-flavored e-cigarette refill pods. Coca-Cola is launching a new flavored seltzer brand with caffeinated options in a challenge to LaCroix. Capital One is shifting its chief information security officer out of that role after the bank's data breach. Now, Michael Bloomberg is taking steps to enter the 2020 presidential race as a Democrat. One of his advisors said, citing the New York City mayor's, former New York City mayor's concern, that the current candidates may not be able to defeat Trump. Two Giuliani associates in late February urged Ukraine's prior president to announce probes similar to those Trump later pressed on Zelensky in exchange for a state visit to Washington. Vitamin E oil was detected in all 29 samples taken from vaping patients tested by the CDC. The administration outlined its plan for issuing public notifications about foreign election interference. Banks jockeying for a role in WeWork's public debt wooed founder Newman with sky-high valuations, but their loans to the company told a different story. Alibaba is aiming to raise up to $15 billion with a new listing in Hong Kong this month, reviving the offering even as the city's political climate remains unstable. U.S. stocks clinched fresh records and government bond yields notched their biggest weekly gain in a month as investors grew more confident. McDonald's first learned roughly 3 weeks ago of the relationship that cost Easterbrook his job as CEO. Amtrak inched closer to breaking even last year as rising ridership and cost cuts continued to improve its financial performance. Blackstone is taking a majority stake in the owner of dating app Bumble as it pushes to invest more in fast-growing companies. and China geared up for the annual Singles Day consumer splurge expected to be bigger than ever. And an ex-Alstom executive was convicted of helping orchestrate a bribery scheme in Indonesia, a case seen as a test of the reach of U.S. law. Well, the Fed lowered rates by a quarter of a percentage point Wednesday for the third time this year in an 8-2 vote, citing global developments for the economic outlook as well as muted inflation pressures. In a statement released by the Federal Reserve, policymakers dropped the target range for the federal funds rate to 1.5 to 1.75%. The mortgage holders that will benefit from the rate cut are those with ARMs, that's adjustable rate mortgages, as the Fed cuts means another reduction in to their mortgage bill. Variable rates usually move in the same direction as federal funds rates. The federal funds rate, however, doesn't directly affect long-term rates, which include financial products like 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. Those tend to move with the long-term treasury yields. Well, a Durham startup, Luma, inks a deal with Lowe's Foods. If you noticed an uptick in video screens in your grocery store's beer and wine aisle, you might have a Durham-based startup to thank or blame. The Luma Project, a boutique advertising startup founded in 2015, is beginning to see wider adoption of its flagship product. That's a small video tablet that tells short documentaries about products being sold in the grocery store. The company's tablets are slated to be added in more than 50 Lowe's stores in North Carolina, the company said this week. That expansion comes in addition to being placed in most of the Harris Teeters in North and South Carolina last year. And the growth isn't expected to slow down with potential partnerships in Texas, the Midwest, and California in the pipeline, the startup said. The goal of the advertisements is to humanize the products that people are picking up off the shelf to tell the story and process of how a product was made. Well, as it prepares to get its first cancer treatment drug approved by regulators, GI Therapeutics, a publicly traded technology company in the RTP, has moved into a larger office to support its growing headcount. The company recently traded a cramped office space in RTP to join the growing Frontier campus as its headcount pushed past 100 employees earlier this month. The Frontier is a collection of former IBM buildings that the RT Foundation, Research Triangle Foundation, has poured millions into to make it attractive to startups and other companies. It is one part of a greater Park Center development that park officials hope will turn the RTP into a live, work, play destination rather than just a collection of office buildings. Well, President Trump on Friday did dismiss a Chinese official's assertion that his administration has agreed to roll back some of the higher tariffs it's imposed on the Chinese goods. The Chinese official said Thursday that the two sides had agreed to a phased cancellation of their tariff hikes as part of an emerging agreement. Trump's pushback suggested that negotiations haven't progressed as far as hoped in the world's two biggest economies that struggle to negotiate an end to their trade war, which has hurt both economies. Trump said they'd like to have a rollback. He told reporters at the White House, referring to the Chinese. He says, "I haven't agreed to anything." That sounds like him. The two sides have been working on an initial phase one deal that was announced October 12, but that still isn't final. Financial markets in the States and globally rallied Thursday at the prospect of an agreement to wind down the U.S.-China trade fight, but then fell on Friday on Trump's comments. The Dow Jones Industrial dropped that day 48 points. Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average eked out a gain in quiet trading, notching its ninth record close of the year. With the bulk of third quarter earnings out, investor attention has turned back to the U.S.-China trade talks. After some optimism around the prospects of Phase 1 trade deal last week, analysts like Mike Bell, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, they have flagged concerns that investors could be disappointed by the scope of an agreement. The fundamental trade tension between the United States and China is unlikely to go away in a hurry. And he says, I think the problem with calling it a Phase 1 trade deal is that it then implies there will be a Phase 2 trade deal, Mr. Bell said. After pushing U.S. oil and natural gas production to record levels, some shale companies plan to pump less. The pullback is sharpest among the country's largest natural gas drillers. Several producers, including EQT Corp and Chesapeake Energy, have said during third quarter earnings that they may shrink output next year. But even more oil-focused shale companies are promising to rein in spending and forecasting slower growth. Diamondback Energy and Callon Petroleum and Cimarex Energy all active in the Permian Basin in Texas and New Mexico. They told investors last week they were contemplating holding next year's spending around current levels. Voluntarily restricting growth is a new dynamic for the industry and reflects a calculus that is better to spend and produce less while hoping for higher commodity prices. A pullback by oil producers would likely cause U.S. oil production growth, already slowing this year, to flatten further in 2020. Natural gas companies, meanwhile, are attempting to whittle down a glut that has driven prices to multi-year lows. Well, it looked like Amazon.com Inc.'s years-long quest to build a shopping business in China was a bust in July when it folded a big part of its local business. In fact, Amazon's chief business is bigger than ever. That is because it has aggressively recruited Chinese manufacturers and merchants to sell to consumers outside the country, and these sellers in turn represent a high proportion of problem listings found on the site. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Well, despite a slowing economy, President Trump declared Tuesday that the United States was enjoying a boom. Let's say what he really said. That the United States was enjoying a, quote, boom, the likes of which we have never seen before, unquote. Trump told the Economic Club of New York that we have delivered on our promises and exceeded our expectations by a very wide margin. His remarks were delivered to an audience of power brokers and affluent business leaders, but his political future may depend on whether voters in the Midwest and Sunbelt believe that he has fought for their financial well-being. The president faces re-election next year in a relatively healthy economy, yet student debt, high medical costs, and rising inequality have given the Democrats seeking the presidency inroads to say that only a privileged few have genuinely benefited from the Trump era. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren told a major Democratic Party fundraiser and dinner in Iowa early this month that, quote, our democracy has been hijacked by the rich and the powerful. They make it work for themselves and they leave everyone else behind. Well, a Triangle developer is revealing new details and updated plans for the Nexus. That's a large mixed-use complex of four buildings on the 3.3-acre site where the News and Observer operated for more than a century. Chapel Hill-based East-West Partners announced that the Nexus will feature a 20-story condominium building that will overlook Nash Square. The condo building, aptly named the Nash, will be almost 240,000 square feet and have 108 units that will range from one bedroom to penthouse suites. California investment firm Acquisition Group bought the 215 South McDowell Street property for $22 million in 2017. Boston-based Elkins Manfred Architects is part of the project. The former N&O buildings now on the site was completed in 1956. The company's operations were based there from 1907 to 2018. The N&O's printing press is now in Garner, and its newsroom and other offices are in One City Plaza building on Fayetteville Street. Well, John Schricker took out a loan to buy a car in 2017. Then he took out another, and then another. In 2 years, the 40-year-old electrician signed up for four auto loans, each time trading in the previous car and rolling the unpaid balance into the next loan. He recently bought a $27,000 Jeep Cherokee with a $45,000 loan from Ally Financial. Consumers, salespeople, and lenders are treating cars a lot like houses during the latest financial crisis by piling on debt to such a degree that often exceeds the car's value. This phenomenon, referred to as negative equity or being underwater, can leave car owners trapped. Some 33% of people who traded in cars to buy new ones in the first 9 months of 2019 had negative equity, compared with 28% 5 years ago and 19% a year ago. That's according to car shopping site Edmunds. Those borrowers owed about $5,000 on average after they traded in their cars before taking on new loans. 5 years ago, the average was about $4,000. Well, the United States has become the world's leading oil producer. That isn't making it any easier on the companies doing the producing. The U.S. pumps out roughly 12.5 million barrels a day. That's according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. The country posted a record trade surplus in petroleum products in September and sent oil to a record number of destinations worldwide this year. It is a shift with nuanced consequences, but one that underscores how the country's relationship with oil markets has changed. U.S. oil has added to a glut that has held down crude prices in recent years. That has reduced fuel costs for manufacturers and motorists and boosted the economy during the long expansion. Swings in oil prices also have consequences for jobs and growth across the country. Energy stocks in the S&P 500 have fallen more than 12% in the past 12 months and are the only sector to post a decline over that period. Well, the Dow closed unchanged for the first time in more than 5 years, hovering at its record. This is a report as of Tuesday, November the 12th. President Trump's speech at the Economic Club, to which we alluded a few minutes ago, was expected to be the highlight of the session, but he said little about the state of trade talks between the U.S. and China. He did say they are dying to make a deal. We're the ones who are deciding whether we want to make a deal, Trump said, adding the parties are close to phase one again. There we go with the phase one. The stock market showed little reaction during the speech, but pared some of its earlier gains as the afternoon progressed. Well, while we're on the market, we can talk about the yield curve. A closely watched barometer of economic expectations is encouraging investors to take risks again. Yields on longer-term U.S. government debt climbed above those on shorter-term. in recent weeks, a sign investors expect no immediate pullback in growth and inflation. That stands in contrast to early in the year when longer-term yields fell below their shorter-term counterparts, a phenomenon known as the inverted yield curve. The yield curve, in fact, completed uninverted last week for the first time since November of 18, meaning shorter-dated benchmark treasuries all yielded less than longer-dated ones. The reversal gives comfort to investors because an inverted yield curve has proved to be one of the financial market's best predictors of recessions. Over the past four decades, when the yield on the 10-year treasury has fallen below the yield on the three-month treasury bill, the U.S. economic growth has typically contracted within about a year and a half. The 10-year yield dropped below the three-month yield in May and stayed there for nearly 5 months. This past week, though, the 10-year yield climbed roughly 0.3 percentage point higher than the three-month yield. That's the largest positive gap since January, and the gap between the 10 and the 2-year yield, meanwhile, reached roughly 0.25%. That's the highest level since July. Well, financial stress is mounting in the Farm Belt, pushing more growers to take on high-interest loans outside traditional banks to stay in business. After his local farm bank wouldn't lend him as much money as he needed, he said in 2017, Iowa farmer James Cron turned to Ag Resource Management, LLC. That's a Texas-based financial services firm. Now, when he takes his corn and soybeans to grain elevators near his farm, he signs the check over to ARM until his loan is paid back in full. He is one of many farmers leaning on alternative lenders to make it through the steepest agricultural downturn in a generation. With crop prices stuck at low levels, traditional farm banks are placing stricter terms on farm loans and doling out less money, leaving the cash-strapped farmers such as Mr. Cron to seek capital for more lightly regulated entities. While firms including ARM and Fora Financial can be a lifeline for farmers, their loans can carry interest rates double those of traditional farm banks, according to farmers and agricultural economists and lenders. The funding can require closer monitoring of how farmers spend, as well as liens on each bushel of grain they produce. They do keep their finger on you. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading on Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, who has served our community since 1974, and they can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138.